Pastor Linda, did you know I can dance like that? Well, Bishop. In my mind, I can. In my mind.
Listen, I was just fixing to say, I want to see that.
No, it's only in my mind. After that, no.
That's right. It says action, plan of action.
All right. Don't be causing trouble.
Plan of action.
I can dance like that in my mind. It's the best I can do.
Let me know how it's working for you.
All right, what are we talking about tonight?
Being spirit-led.
Being spirit-led. Okay. God consists of three parts. We all know that. Father, the Son, and the Spirit.
Yes.
I feel like the Spirit kind of gets the black sheep of the God. Right? I mean, we talk about Jesus, we talk about God, and we don't spend enough time talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the atmosphere changer. Okay? If you want your atmosphere changed wherever you go, you must take the Holy Spirit with you. We must learn to not only accept the Holy Spirit, but we must rely on the Holy Spirit for everything. Yes. Not just when we're in trouble, not just when we're facing great difficulty, but even in simple, mundane tasks that we do, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was foretold by Jesus when it was time for the Last Supper. When it was time for the Last Supper, he told his disciples, he said, follow, go outside, and there'll be a man there with a jug of water. Follow him. Mm-hmm. Water represents the Holy Spirit. Foretold by Jesus when nobody knew what Jesus was talking about. But he said, follow this man. He will take you to a place where everything is ready. He'll take you to a place where all of the accommodations, everything you need, will be ready for you. They didn't know where they were going to have the Last Supper. They didn't know where the food was coming from. They didn't know where the table was coming from. They didn't know where the painter Leonardo da Vinci was coming from to paint them while they were eating. I might have added that part. I don't know. Did I add that part?
Yeah.
Forgive me, God. I should not have added that part.
Did you read the last page of the Bible? Not supposed to add?
I just saw his painting, and I thought he was there. I didn't know. Yeah. All right. But he comes out, and he says, go outside, and there'll be a guy there with water. Follow him. Follow him. He'll lead you. And then he tells us that he's leaving, he's going to be with the Father. And we sometimes don't understand that Jesus is not here, he's there, he's in heaven. He said, I'm going out of here, I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father, that's where I'm staying. And see, it's a great thing, because Jesus could deal with those he was in the presence of. He couldn't deal with everybody at one time. Mm-hmm. But the Holy Spirit is so powerful that he can deal with everybody on earth at the same time. That is power. Okay? That's power that, you know, Jesus could perform miracles, but I don't know of a greater miracle than what the Holy Spirit does by leading all of us who want to be led at the same time. I think that's like out there as far as miracles go. So, one of the biggest problems that we as Christians have is the autopilot syndrome, where we don't talk to the Holy Spirit on a regular basis, and we're not asking him to help us on a regular basis, especially if we've done it before and we think we know what we're doing. So, to have the relationship, and I love the book by Benny Hinn. He says he wakes up in the morning and says, hello, Holy Spirit, or good morning, Holy Spirit, whatever he says. Welcome, Holy Spirit, whatever he says. But the first thing he says when he opens his eyes is he confronts the Holy Spirit. He acknowledges the Holy Spirit. He greets the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Many of us in our Christian walk, and I'm talking about seasoned Christians, I'm talking about the elite, so to speak. I'm talking about the ones that have been in church their whole life. In fact, my good friends were just telling me the other day about a church that does not have any room for the Holy Spirit. Mm. If it doesn't make logical sense, they say no. It has to make logical sense. Listen, God does not make sense. There's no logic in God. I haven't found any. He don't make any sense to me. But yet at the end of the day, he always seemed to have known what was best. Mm. Imagine that. But there was an old bum sitting outside of the church on Sunday morning, and he didn't have any shoes on, and he had ripped up clothes, and he smelled. And the Holy Spirit walked up to him and said, "Hey, how come you're not in church with the rest of them?" He says, "Oh, man. They don't let me in there. They throw me out when I go in there." Holy Spirit sat down next to him and said, "Well, don't feel bad. They haven't let me in there for years."
So true.
You see, we have to give. Listen, I surprise myself with the things I say up here. I do. I mean, I got to try to get a hold of myself because I just said something that... I'm like, you know, how did I figure out that the Holy Spirit was represented by Jesus at the Last Supper by following a guy with a jug of water? God just told me one day. He says, "That was me foretelling you of the Holy Spirit." I said, "Okay, makes sense now." Yeah. That was just a scripture I glanced over. That was just, it made no, you know, they followed a guy. So I have... learn to respect the Holy Spirit as powerful as God or Jesus is, if not more. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Holy Spirit is involved in my life each and every day in a detailed way. And I have seen him tell me things that have absolutely astounded people when I've asked him. And when I don't ask him, he lets me walk right into the wall. He does not care about how many times I get a bump on my head. "You didn't ask, Jack. You're on your own. You didn't. How's that wall taste? How's that mud taste? Not very good, Holy Spirit. Well, you should have asked. I'd have told you." I was at a house one time. They, and some of you know this story, but they had an electrical short. And my guys came after looking for about an hour for the short, and they said, "Boss, we just can't find it. It's nowhere to be found. We can't find it in any of the junction boxes and any of the thing." And the Holy Spirit said, takes me to a wall, says, "Right there." I tell my guys, I said, "Cut a hole in the wall right there." And they looked at me like, "Are you out of your mind? Why would we cut a hole there?" Cut a hole there about this big, and there were the wires sitting right there, not in a box, not connected together, right? And there was the short. And they're just shaking their head like, "How could he possibly have known that? How could he have possibly known?" I didn't. But the Holy Spirit knows these things. Are you communicating with the Holy Spirit? If you don't communicate with the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you. Nope. All right. That probably took up enough time.
<I'll> Being, listen.
For those that don't know, I have no idea what we're preaching about Wednesday. I want to be completely Holy Spirit-led when I take this stage on Wednesday nights. I find out what the topic of the night is on the third or fourth song. Enough time for me to start talking to the Holy Spirit about it. She tried to tell me in the office today. I had to tell her to shut up.
Now, I was going to tell you about a clip.
She's trying to tell me, talk about this. I don't want to know about the service tonight. I want to make room for the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to guide me when I get up here. I don't want to come up here on my own strength. I preached one time in my own strength. It's the worst night I ever had. Sermon lasted 12, 14 hours. I know it was only an hour, but it felt like 12 or 14. I love that when the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding me, I come on the stage and I get down in about 3 minutes. That's what it feels like, although it's been an hour for y'all. That's how fast time, it's like time stands still. It's amazing. On my own strength, I failed miserably. And I said, I don't ever want to do that again. I want to be in, and when the music starts, I begin communicating with God. Mm-hmm. I don't like to be interrupted when the music starts. Because you won't see me and know that that's what I'm doing, but I'm walking around, I'm talking to God, I look normal, I'm acting normal, but I'm not there. And so if you interrupt me while music's playing, you pull me from where I am to where you are, and I don't want to be where you are right now. I want to be where he is. Because I'm getting ready to take the stage and find some revelation, something to teach you about. And so it's very important that you find some alone time with the Holy Spirit. In my Bible study that I had at my house for several years, I had a spot that the Holy Spirit would talk to me. I would go find my spot during the music and he would talk to me. And if I left my spot, the conversation ended. It was the weirdest thing. But it happened. And I would go to my spot. And I would hear. And I would learn about the service. So it was amazing. The Holy Spirit's amazing. I have so many stories where the Holy Spirit's led me to victory after I failed myself without him. After I've apologized to God and said, God, I should have taken you with me. I don't know what I was thinking. I made a mistake. Please forgive me and please send the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you to come with me on the next one. I need the Holy Spirit.
Are you sure? Listen, you were talking about the Holy Spirit a minute ago.
Don't stop me when I'm preaching good.
Listen. I wanted you to know how long the clip was because I didn't want you to get it beside yourself.
Know
but
nothing.
Listen, wait.
I don't want to
wait,
know nothing.
Back to you talking about the Holy Spirit and guiding people and being the most miraculous thing. You got to keep in mind that he's leading everybody on their own destiny, their own journey all at one time.
Yes, he's not leading us all to the same place.
Right.
He's leading us all individually where we need to go, dealing with us. And that is why we as Christians cannot try to convict other people of their sin. It's the biggest mistake you can make. You show them what Jesus has done for you, what the Holy Spirit's done for me. You show them God. You show them who we serve. You show them who you are. You tell them what Jesus has done for you. But don't try to tell them what they're doing wrong. The Holy Spirit will deal with them directly.
Yep.
And convict them of their sin. We cannot convict people. They're not listening to you anyway. It would be so much easier if I could just shake Jeff. Jeff, this is what you're doing wrong. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It ain't going to work, right? Doesn't work for Mary. It's not going to work for me. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of him, he gets a hold of his heart, it's the Holy Spirit that will convict him to do it his way.
Yep.
And we forget that we haven't all started the same journey at the same time. So you might be over here on your journey and God's convicting you of this because this is what you get convicted at this level. But your friend might be over here on his journey and the Holy Spirit's convicting him of what you get convicted for on that level. So you can't take your level and place it on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It won't work for them. It won't work for you. You just get discouraged and disappointed. We always have to remember that We need to let God be God and you be you. And let God do. And I had one lady walk out of the church because I wouldn't convict her relative of their sin. And I said, that's not my job. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go confront them in their sin. That's not my job. If they open a door for me, I'll walk through it. Don't open a door for me that you don't want me to walk through. That's a big mistake. Because you open a door, I'm in before you can even say, oh, maybe I shouldn't open that door. It's too late. You cracked it open, I bust in. I've been waiting for you to crack that door open. Do you not understand? I already know. I've been waiting for you to just give me a space. But until you give me that space, hey, let God be God and I'm going to be me. I'm going to tell you how great God is. I'm going to tell you what a great life I have because God's in it. And I'm going to tell you how powerful he is. And I'm going to tell you what you can achieve. And God will work that other stuff out of you. That's how I can cope.
Being spirit-led means that one must deny your emotions access to your heart. Deny your emotions access to your heart, which rules the mind. If you don't believe me.
The Holy Spirit will lead you contrary to your emotions.
Yes.
Your emotion is telling you to do this because it seems like it's the right thing to do. But the Holy Spirit, who knows far more than you do, says that's not the right thing to do for this person. You're getting in my way because I got a plan worked out over there, and that plan did not include you.
People have to go
right?
through.
It did not include you. I did not send you an invitation to get involved in my plan. Now
That's
back
right.
out.
That's right.
But your emotion says, oh, they need help, and I got to help them, and they need money, and I got to give them money, and they need food, and I got to give them food. And God's got such a bigger plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit, and by his guiding, you go into action.
Yep.
When the Holy Spirit says, go help somebody. See, we try to put logic in it. I'll give you an example. God says, you're around somebody who's very wealthy, and you're around somebody who's very, very poor and in great need. And God says, bless the man who's wealthy. What happens? You go into defensive mode. Why am I going to give him money? He's got all the money there is in Florida. Why are you going to give him money? He's fine. He's got more than enough. This guy has nothing. He's starving. He needs food. He needs help. Why would I bless the man with the money? Because the Holy Spirit said to. Didn't ask for your opinion. Didn't ask for your logic. He said, do it. Do it. And I had to learn that you do what the Holy Spirit says, even though that makes no sense to me whatsoever. That is not logical. And if I let my emotions dictate how I feel, then my emotions are going to say, don't do it. Don't do it. And I had to get past that. And I had to just learn that you follow the Holy Spirit, irregardless of what he tells you to do, just do it when you know it's him. When you know it's him and you know how to block yourself out and just listen to him.
If you think we're crazy, let your heart truly break for something and see what kind of fight you have within yourself, which is the example that he just gave, rich man, poor man. Bishop always says,
the best way to keep something off of you is to never let it get on you. And that comes from Dr. Frederick Price is where I heard that, and I stole it. And Frederick Price has gone on to be with the Lord. COVID-19 caused his death. And if you never heard Frederick Price, go back and get a video and get a, he's really quite something.
Should you accept the lies as truth given to you by Satan through the use of your emotions, you, my friend, have just given him the keys to your camp. Your enemy knows you better than you know yourself. He has made an art of studying you and has all the strategies to set off every trigger you know about and even some you didn't have any idea you had. He especially likes to set off the self-detonate trigger, resulting in self-destruction. Satan is only out for one thing, John 10:10.
The thief approaches with malicious intent, looking to steal, slaughter, and destroy. Jesus says, I came to give life with joy and abundance. Mm-hmm. There's only two things that can happen. You're going to get it and find joy, happiness, and abundance, or you're going to continue to allow Satan steal from you. I got a phone call this morning. Somebody who's been a victim of theft.
Oh, no.
Not natural theft, but Satan has stolen from him.
It's worse.
And he recognized that Satan was stealing from them, and he doesn't go to our church. I get lots of calls, not only from people that go to our church, but I get as many calls from many other churches. People that go to other churches call me all the time to get my advice because God leads them to call me, whatever reason. But he called me, and he says, I need you. He says, there's too much going on right now. And so I rebuked the enemy from stealing his stuff. Mm. See, somehow the enemy got in and started messing with him. And this happened, 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 and this happened. And he's like, what's going on here? Why is all this stuff happening to me? Why is it all happening in a row? Why am I dealing with all this? Mm-hmm. Well, once the enemy finds a way to get in, and I don't know how you let him in, but once he finds a way to get in, he has malicious intent. He's looking to steal, slaughter, and destroy. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. How many of you or us have had times in our life where we just, everything turns to absolute dung? Right?
Yep.
And what we have to do when that happens to us is realize that that's what the devil was going to do. That was his plan from the start. And something went wrong somewhere in your life, and you've given him open access. I like the sermon called Legal Access, because you realize that he can't do the things that he does if you don't let him. He only operates by how you let him operate. What door did you open? What window did you open? You made it possible for him to operate in your life, because once you've accepted Jesus, you've got a guard. Mm-hmm. And it's time to stop that malicious intent that's coming against you. That's why I like the rebuke prayer. I rebuke every foul word, action, or deed that is trying to come against me in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I send it back to the originator, whether it's the devil originating it or one of you or one of somebody else. I don't care who's take it back. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I'll pray it goes back 20-fold.
Right.
Is that what they got to say? Okay, 20-fold, return it. Take it back.
Once the self-detonate trigger is activated, one could fathom that the conversation with the Holy Spirit would go something like this. This is the 9-minute clip I was telling you about. Hold on before you, go ahead and cut your lights, but hold on before you start it, okay? I pray that the next 9 minutes you clearly listen to the instructions and consider that this is the Holy Spirit speaking to you from birth. Until now, has Satan triggered that self-destruct? Because, baby, it can look like the perfect prize, but it's self-destruct. Turn it up fairly loud so you can hear everything. Cut these lights here.
Emergency destruction sequence will be activated. To override automatic detonation sequence, clear the code 756 and execute the procedure 648. Emergency destruction sequence is now activated. Warning, this ship will be destroyed in T-minus 8 minutes. Leave the ship immediately. The option to override automatic detonation expires in T-minus 6 minutes. Destruction sequence, step 3. Hull compartment for 3, FT8 detached. Virtual division, AJ, environmental maintenance system, withdrawn. Info circulation loop return parameter released, event ID, 74. Inflow circulation loop detached. Outflow circulation loop detached. Warning. This ship will be destroyed in T-minus 7 minutes. Leave the ship immediately. The option to override automatic detonation expires in T-minus 5 minutes. Destruction sequence, step 37. Reverse drive of inertial release loop started. High speed set point clear completed. Inertial release loop reverse drive completed. Invalidation completed. Invalidation completed. Level 3, compartmental unit, disassembled. In the case of event, apply PL86 to reattach. Warning, this ship will be destroyed in T-minus 6 minutes. Leave the ship immediately. The option to override automatic detonation expires in T-minus 4 minutes. Module local system, procedure J22, volatilization time cleared. Volatilization time cleared. Module cooperation, speed synchronous index, optimum condition, now cleared. BTF submodule, deviation prevention tube, now released. Module local system, procedure B61, detonation avoidance condition, now cleared. Warning, this ship will be destroyed in T-minus 5 minutes. Leave the ship immediately. The option to override automatic detonation expires in T-minus 3 minutes. Maintenance system, level 5, preserved. Compartment 56Y, oxygen pressure is decreasing. Sensor contradiction. Sensor contradiction. Points 56 and 23, electric power pipes. BTF submodule, deviation prevention tube, now released. Procedure J45, charging time, cleared. Warning, this ship will be destroyed in T-minus 4 minutes. Leave the ship immediately. The option to override automatic detonation expires in T-minus 2 minutes. Maintenance system, level 4, preserved. Module cooperation, synchronous electromagnetic hook, release condition, cleared. Setting an optimized module combination, cleared. Warning, warning, leave the ship immediately. Life support system ability reduced to level 3. Warning, warning, leave the ship immediately. Start extra reinforcements to restore life support performance. Module connection, fluidization condition, setting now cleared. Abnormal vibration was detected in hull compartment 547. Warning, this ship will be destroyed in T-minus 3 minutes. Leave the ship immediately. The option to override automatic detonation expires in T-minus 1 minute. Destruction sequence, step 257. Wait, parametric engine launches startup mode. Warning, warning, leave the ship immediately. Hull vibration is within allowable range. Leave the ship immediately. The option to override automatic detonation expires in T-minus 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wake parametric engine was now consolidated to initiation mode. All system parameters was now locked in destruction mode. The option to override detonation procedure has now expired. This ship will be destroyed in 2 minutes. RDD immediate start type B. Initiation system ship link test completed normally. RDD destruction performance 3.76. Activation element index 542.23.0. RDD circulating crushed material. All platforms loading. Completed. GRF trigger timing corrected. Trigger timing corrected. RDD tertiary release energy setting correction. GRF 65. RDD third release energy allocation corrected. GRF 23. T33. High level preserved. RDD destruction performance comprehensive evaluation start 3.22 activation element index. This ship will be destroyed in 1 minute. Hull initiation balancing process started. Detonation unit 5-4 gas filling completed. Detonation unit 5-8 alpha inverted magnetic loop formation confirmed. Detonation unit 2-4-2 combustion base formation confirmed. Detonation unit 9-6 combustion base formation confirmed. Detonation unit 4-3 combustion base formation confirmed. Now 30 seconds before destruction. N6 master cylinder fusion comprehensive plasma activation complete. Hull chain break induction moment now established. All detonation unit ready. Now ignition standby, 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 standby. This ship will detonate in T-minus 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
That's exactly right. Go ahead with your lights back.
As a construction guy, I can tell you that concrete takes 30 days to achieve its maximum strength.
Yes.
Every day after that, that concrete starts to deteriorate until it crumbles apart. Now, that may take hundreds or thousands of years for that to go, but the process has started. We start destruction sequences when we don't follow the Holy Spirit. When we're a married man and we start looking at pornography, for example, you have just started your destruction sequence to destroy your marriage. You'll start getting unrealistic ideas and goals of what you're going to achieve with your wife, and that's with cameras and mirrors and tricks and editing and everything else, and it's not going to happen that way for you. But you start a destruction sequence until it blows up.
Yep.
And you're not married anymore. When you take drugs, The Holy Spirit's not leading you to take drugs, not leading you to watch pornography, but when you start taking drugs, that destruction sequence begins. And it's just a matter of time before you blow up, you overdose, or it just messes your mind up or your body up and you cannot recover. Same with alcohol. When my father started drinking for the second time, he reset that destruction sequence. Until the day that he overdosed on alcohol and it killed him at 54 years of age. He set the destruction sequence. See, the typical person is at maximum strength. Do you know when? Nobody knows? 9 months. Mm-hmm. You've been in the womb for 9 months. You're at maximum strength. You're born, and it all starts deteriorating from that point on, right? And all of a sudden, all kinds of stuff are going wrong, and you don't even understand it. But there was a destruction sequence that God put in us so that we could be with Him. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not sorry that Pastor Ron Barfield went to be with the Lord, but we're very sorry that his congregation is suffering the way they're suffering. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't come back. He would say, Jack, no, I'm not no Lazarus. You leave me alone.
Right?
See, the Bible didn't give you the next verse. Lazarus is mad. He mad. He was fine. He was up there talking to Ezekiel and Moses, and he was having a party, and all of a sudden he had to come back.
Yep.
He's not happy. That's not happy. Ron don't want to come back here. But there's a lot of people hurting because of his absence here. Mm-hmm. But we're on that self-destructive. Think about how many things in your life is causing you to self-destruct. Where do you think quitting comes from? Mm-hmm. I quit. You reach the blow-up number on the self-destruct. It had already started. You already knew you were thinking about quitting. You already knew you were playing with it. You already knew. And all of a sudden, you blowed up.
Yep.
You could threaten to quit your job. Quit your job and quit your job. It's going to blow up. And you're not going to be there one way or the other because you set the self-destruction sequence.
Mm-hmm. When I was looking for this video, actually, it's kind of comical because I was laughing. I was going to use Inspector Gadget, but fortunately I couldn't find where Gadget blew up. He blew up everything else because he handed it off and everything else blew up. So when I played this initially, I said, are you kidding me? No. And God said, but yes, because this is truth. With every level that they closed out on that ship, that computer made the statement, every so often the computer would tell them, the override cannot be overridden anymore. You cannot override that anymore. That decision is made. You don't get the chance to go back. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. My friend, if you're fool enough, forgive me for the word, okay? If you're fool enough to let someone take the Holy Spirit from you and cause you to get off your course because you're upset with them or because they said something you didn't like or they did something you didn't like, I feel sorry for you. There is nobody going to take my road to heaven. I'm sorry. You're not that good. You're not that important to me. You are a pawn of Satan when you try to take something that doesn't belong to you. It's called manipulation. Okay? I want to ask you a question. What did those 9 minutes feel like to you? Did you wonder when it was going to end? Were you a little uncomfortable? Was the Holy Spirit telling you something? Were you being awakened? Did the time seem like an eternity? Like it would never end? Good, then you clearly understand all the warning signs that were sent to you, and you are ignoring them. Your self-destruction trigger has been activated, and you still have time to get out. This is your last warning you'll get before total self-annihilation. If this is you, again, still you still have time, but it's the final stages of the countdown. Here are the five things that we must do to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Now, before I read this, I want you to know that just as in that video, there was a time where they could not reverse things.
Yes.
We have a time where we cannot reverse things, and that is when we die a natural death. Once we die a natural death, we cannot reverse anything.
Right.
Up to the last second of your life, you can reverse everything. You're destructing, but you can reverse it up to the last second. And that's why you don't know who's in heaven and who's not in heaven. I don't care how bad they were, and I don't care what they did. If at that last second my father cried out to Jesus, then he is in heaven.
I agree.
That was his second that he had before he could not reverse the self-destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Five things we must do to be led by the Holy Spirit. Number one is quiet your soul. So important that we clear our heads. We clear our hearts. And animosity. Anger.
Mm-hmm.
Hurt.
Judgment.
All of these things have your soul rattling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important to forgive somebody when they've hurt you, irregardless of what they did. It's you that's paying the price. You're not being led by the Holy Spirit because he can't. And people, you know, I have my reasons why I won't drink alcohol. Okay? I got lots of reasons, but I got one main reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because my father died of an alcohol overdose. It's not because I don't like the taste of alcohol. It's because I might miss something the Holy Spirit has to say to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's still talking, but I don't get it because I'm impaired. That's why they call it being impaired.
Mm.
All right? I might miss something critical. If I would have missed him telling me what I needed to do financially to be able to have the church he wanted me to have, he didn't tell me that part yet. But I could have missed it because he only told me one time. One time. That was it. He said, go buy all the gold and silver you can and hold it to the middle of the Democratic presidency, and there was a Republican in the office. What if I was high? What if I was drunk? What if I was just buzzed? I'd have missed it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have missed the greatest thing God had for me, this church.
Mm-hmm.
I would have missed it. We got marijuana being legalized as recreational use in different states now. I believe there are 3 states that it's legalized. I could be wrong. I know of 2 definitely. One being California. No, we're not. It's not recreational here yet, I don't think. No. No, you'll know when it is because you're going to, wherever you go, you'll smell it. And I had a friend who went to California. He came back and he says, beautiful place, but everywhere I went, I could smell it. Because you can walk down the street and it's not an issue. It's complete normal to light it up and smoke it. But what's it doing to people? It's separating them from God. And they don't know it. It's separating them from the Holy Spirit because in that place they cannot hear from the Holy Spirit, let alone be guided by Him.
No.
My soul be quiet before God, for from Him comes my hope.
Mm-hmm.
I need to hear Him. You need to hear him. Go ahead and be angry. You ain't hearing nothing. That's Go right. ahead and be hurt. You're not hearing nothing. You're in survival mode. You're in self-destructive mode. Mm-hmm. Be still. I've told you time and time again, you got to find some time to be still. I tell you, I don't get up in the morning and start praying. I don't get up in the morning and start reading chapters of the Bible that I'm not going to remember or understand. What I do is I go get be still. Mm-hmm. And I start a conversation with God. And I listen. And I'm still. One of the best parts of my day is the 15 minutes to a half hour that I spend on the couch when I first wake up before I ever do anything. That works for me. Be still. Be silent in the Lord's presence and wait patiently for him. Don't be angry because of the one whose way prospers or the one who implements evil schemes. In other words, don't pay attention to anything that's going on around you. Just go be still before God. And you know, sometimes in that half hour, I don't hear a thing. Nothing. And other times, he talks to me. Be still. I must quiet myself. My mind is one of those minds that never stops. Anybody got one of those? Just always, you know. I like watching movies because that's the only time my mind stops. Other than that, it's racing. This, that, this, that, this, that. It's racing from one thing to the other, and I have trouble quieting it. But I can get up in the morning, turn on the coffee maker. Takes 14 minutes to make coffee. Right?
You need to curate.
I know. And I got new coffee pots too. I got an old coffee pot, but I got new ones too. I don't want the new one. I want those 14 minutes to be quiet on the couch before I even get up and have coffee. I love those 14 minutes.
Yeah.
I put a blanket over my head and I just be still. Refuse to be moved. This is so important to be led by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants people, how do I say this, that are steadfast.
Yes, rooted.
They're rooted. The mm-hmm. Bible tells you to get rooted. Mm-hmm. Nobody's rooted anymore.
Right.
Oh, my feelings are hurt. I quit.
Pluck them up.
You have no roots.
Yep.
You didn't root. I have thrown Linda out of this church. She won't go.
That's right. I'm rooted.
She's rooted.
Under the church. Rooted.
You think I'm making this up? I'm not making this up.
Nope.
I have thrown her out on several times. She won't leave.
Yep.
She's rooted. You can't make her leave. I've tried. She's not leaving.
So has others. They've tried to get me.
I'm not even making this up. I'm telling you the truth. She's not going to leave. That's why I called her a cockroach one day and she got mad at me. I said, you don't understand. This building can blow up, but the cockroach will still be here alive and prospering.
That's right.
See, that's her.
They fly too, just so you know.
I had a portrait painted, and she went to the artist without my knowledge and made the artist put a cockroach in my painting.
Forever with him, so, the cockroach.
So if you go look at the painting, it'll take you about 5-10 minutes to figure out where the roach is. They put it so well in there, but it's there. It's definitely there. She's rooted. Doesn't matter, you know. My Lord, we're all going to go through some difficult times.
Yep. And we are.
Right? And heck, I've thought about quitting a few times, but I'm rooted.
Right.
I ain't going nowhere. I'm rooted. Don't mean the thought doesn't come. Just means I know how to handle the thought. You're going to go through some stuff. And it's just going to seem like, I ain't doing this no more. Whatever it is you're doing, it's because you're not rooted.
Mm-hmm.
See, you got to be rooted. You got to refuse to be moved if you want to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not like double-mindedness. Book of James says a double-minded person should expect nothing from God. A double-minded person should expect nothing from the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Nothing from the Father. Nothing from Jesus. Nothing from the Father, Son, and Spirit. You should expect nothing if you're double-minded. Doesn't want you double-minded. Wants you where you refuse to be moved. Cast on the Lord whatever he sends your way, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. See, the only time you move, get moved, is when you lose your focus. If your focus is there, you're not going to be moved. You know, look at Miss Sandy. 40-some years in a ministry most of us wouldn't last 2 or 3 weeks in. You can't move her. You have a better chance of going and moving Manny's old tractor. Ain't going to happen. That thing weighs a ton and 2 tons, 3 tons. I don't know how much it weighs. Big old John Deere. You ain't pushing it.
Mm-mm.
But you got a better chance of moving that than moving her. She's done been through it all. And when she starts to get a little shaken, she knows where to go.
Mm-hmm.
She'll go get with another unmovable person, such as myself. And we'll talk it out. Am I telling the truth or not?
Yep.
You didn't know I was going to put your business on the street when you came to church tonight, did you? But you know that's how I am. There you go. And she comes anyway, praise God. Yep. All right? No, I'm serious now. A righteous person can't get shaken.
Right.
Says he will never allow the righteous to be. You're not going to shake me. You can come with whatever nonsense you got. I'm still going to be here next week. Yeah. You, maybe. Maybe not. I'm still going to be here. I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to be moved. God didn't put me here for me to be willy-nilly. He put me here because I would stand strong.
Mm-hmm.
He put me here because you can't run me off.
That's right.
Next one. Close the door. I talked to you, I think very recently,
Sunday.
I think Sunday, I talked about the woman with the oil, mm-hmm. how she had to shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's got an opinion,
yeah.
and none of them match.
Nothing to say about opinions.
I have a sensor in the front
asked.
Row.
I
you
just
stop.
Asked.
Don't you egg me on. Don't you do it. Don't you do it.
Well. You can tell me later.
If you can find somebody in your life who wants the best for you, that's a great thing. But some of them become obstinate. They refuse to believe and publicly malign the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that all of the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Can't think you're going to plant the seed, water the seed, and harvest the seed.
Mm.
Biggest mistake you can make.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that we don't have to work together to accomplish the will of God in somebody's life. there's some things I'm working on right now. There's some people I'm working on, and I'm working hard. But I can't be the only one. It's not going to work.
Yep.
But there's also people that I got to close the door on because they're not getting it. They're not going to get it. They haven't gotten it. There's nothing to move them from where they are.
Right.
I've had to close the door on friends and people I love. I can't get to where I'm going with you.
Right.
All right, one more. Because we're about out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to listen.
Notice that's number five. That's the number of grace, just
so
that you know.
Learn to listen. I talked about this the other day, too, maybe a couple weeks ago. I don't remember when, but I talked about how we don't accept wisdom anymore.
Yes.
We think we know more. I was finished a service one night, and a guy asked me my investment strategy. And I'm very open. I tell you I'm an open book, and you ask me the question, and I'll answer it. And I sit down, and I gave him a 15, 20-minute overview of my investment strategy. And he looked at me, and he said, "That won't work." I'm thinking, okay. I said, "What's your plan?" And he told me his plan. And I said, "Okay, how much money have you made doing that?" Because I knew that didn't work. And he said, "Well, I haven't invested anything in it yet, because I don't have any money."
Oh, my. Well.
Had he listened to me, I have a very good friend. He's actually trying to move to Lake Placid. It's kind of funny. He's trying to buy a piece of property here and build on it. And I'm not talking about my son-in-law, but I'm talking about another guy. It was really funny because he was looking at the same property my son-in-law was looking at, my daughter. And he called me up and he says, "I need to ask you about a property." And he gave me the address, and I started telling him all about the property. I said, "Yeah, it's 5 acres. It's got wetlands on the left-hand side. It's got some oak trees you can't take down, blah, 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 blah." And he's like, "How do you know this?" I said, "Because my son's trying to buy the property too." I said, "If you want it, you better go quick."
Oh, my.
But anyway, I put together a consortium of men back in the day. Yeah, a group of guys that could go together and be more powerful than a single guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I had more clout. I had more respect. I made better deals because I was working with larger sums of money than I could work with on myself. In other words, I had my money, his money, his money, his money, his money, and his money. So I had a lot of money. So when I went and spoke, I was speaking with a lot of money. Okay? And this one guy was invited into the consortium, my friend, and he said no. And now every time I see him for the last 10 years, he cries. "I should have listened. I don't know what I was thinking. I told you the story how I'd go listen to guys at the track who seemed to know what they were doing rather than pick my own horse. I didn't know nothing about horses. I'm going to go listen to somebody who knows. I want to hear from somebody who knows something, somebody mm-hmm. who's had some experience, somebody who's gotten their butts handed to them and they found victory. Those are the best people. They know how to overcome something. They know how to get through. They know how to be victorious instead of lying in their own pity and falling apart all the time. They know how to win."
Mm-hmm.
Get around somebody that knows how to win, because they can lead you. They can give you wisdom. It says, let the wise listen and increase their learning. Let the person of understanding receive guidance. You see, the Holy Spirit works through other people too. Mm-hmm. But you have to know who has wisdom and who doesn't. And then you emulate that wisdom. We got to go.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you, God, for the message, the word. I hope that it reaches somebody tonight, God. That it's not void. That the words that we spoke go out and accomplish that which we've sent them out to accomplish. And that those that are here tonight are watching all over social media in various parts of the country, God, that they would understand that they are more than conquerors. And they're more than capable of doing great things. They just need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We pray for an increase of his leading. And Lord, we pray for an increase of our allowing him to lead us. All in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.